Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
John Gruden is out. So what next? Gruden was really stupid to write things he wrote in emails to the Washington Redskins executive. Nobody argues that point. But what's really going on here? The NFL has 650,000 emails from the Washington organization as they're investigating misconduct in the workplace. 650,000. And all they do is leak John Gruden emails to the Wall Street Journal because he called Commissioner Roger Goodell some names? This is the worst example yet of one of these stories, as Gruden wasn't even working for the NFL at the time. He was at ESPN. This is a really, really important story for the credibility and the future of this league, as they better come up with much more on the Redskins and other people to make this look like more than just a petty feud with John Gruden. Southwest Airlines is canceling more flights as the vax mandate for pilots is approaching. Pilots are saying they're not going to stand for the mandate. Joe Biden says otherwise. Here's the problem Biden has, and Democrats in general. The people that are going to walk away from their jobs in America are the smartest, richest, most important people in our society. Pilots fit that description to a T. They'll take their pensions and run. Hey, I'm done listening to what the Chiefs have to say about their problems, at least until somebody melts down with something real. Talk is cheap, and I never thought I'd say this about this generation of the Chiefs, but that's all they have right now. This team is all talk and no action. We'll give you the examples. And what the heck is wrong with kickers? How many game-winning field goal attempts were missed this weekend in the league? Seems like it's an epidemic. It's brought to you by Merriam Body Shop. On Merriam Drive, just off I-35 and Johnson Drive, ask for Justin. He's our contact at Merriam Body Shop. Look, they're State Farm preferred, but they work with all insurance companies. Whether you get in a full collision work or you know, you have a couple dents that they do paintless dent removal and all that good stuff too. They do everything. And here's how you know that this is the best body shop anywhere in Kansas City. First of all, the big corporate places are difficult to deal with. That's not what this is. This is locally owned and operated. You know what they do that nobody else does? This tells you all you need to know when it comes to fixing your car. This is all you got to know. Justin and his team at Merriam Body Shop, every single car they repair, every collision job they have, every one they repair, they detail your car when they're done. They detail it for you. They return it to you like it's showroom new. Nobody does that. That takes a couple hours at least. I mean, this is real extra work you get for the same price as anywhere else. It really is different. They do try harder. If you just have some dents in your car and you want those removed, they do the paintless dent removal. That's easy. Call Merriam Body Shop at 913-362-1198. Ask for Justin, okay? Just ask for Justin. Tell him you listen to the podcast. Whether it's full collision repair or a small job, you're going to find the best customer service anywhere. And don't forget, they do complete detailing at the new car image there with Merriam Body Shop, which includes the ceramic coating, which is at least a one-year ceramic coating. Some places charge over $1,000 for this. It starts at about $250 for a two- or four-door car. That's great stuff. You should get the detail done at Merriam Body Shop and the new car image. Online at merriambodyshop.com. BeStock.net. Oh boy, the gang at BeStock is always loading up for football season with great, great deals on televisions. Samsung 70-inch TU7000 TV, great entry-level 4K smart TV, retails for $700+. Get it at BeStock for just $499. They also feature Apple products, including iPads and Apple TV. They got a few of those left. They're hard to find, so check them out online at BeStock.net or get to their showroom at 14680 South Flaming Road. Back 9 Development, a custom home builder in Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan. TJ Vilkanskis and his team can build for you. Whether you're looking for a custom home, a room addition, or commercial properties, they do it all. Check out their portfolio. Go to the website and look. Back9development.com. That's back9development.com. And don't forget to take a look at the Solheim Condominiums at Grandmere on the Colbert Hills Golf Course. And, of course, John Hutchins over at Amazing Garage Floors. He will get you an amazing garage floor, and you're going to be so happy with that this winter. Winter is actually the best time to have the amazing garage floor because all the crap you'd take in there, and then when you get a nice warm day, if you get like a 50-degree day, you just get the hose out or the broom, and it just cleans right up, and you got a brand-new clean garage floor right in the middle of winter instead of having all that stupid crap on there that you got to wait until spring to get out. Easy to clean, amazing garage floors. Online at amazinggaragefloors.net. And we still have a few weeks left before we freeze. They can seal your driveway and get you ready for winter as well with Seal XP at amazinggarageFloors.net. All right, John Gruden is out. He clearly did a stupid thing, right? You just don't put stuff like that in an email. He is who he is. Nobody's surprised that he did it. Nobody ever said he's a bad person or has a racist bone in his body or anything like that. He's just Chucky. He's got a foul mouth, and he put some things in emails. But what the heck is really going on here? Is this just a petty feud with Gruden? And why, with all these emails, do we have nothing on the Washington football team? On KKHI. Hit it!
Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
Well, I said something this morning that I haven't said in a long time, and I've never really said it as it pertains to the podcast. For many years, while working in radio, alongside my good friend Todd Lebo, I would say, I mean, many times over the years, I say, sometimes they just drop a show right in your lap. And he'd go, yeah, I know what you mean. And it would become a show, a four-hour radio show about just one topic. This happened maybe three, four, five times a year, and a lot of times it was breaking news. It was things that happened during the broadcast between the hours of 2 and 6 p.m., and then you just run with it. You try to get more information as you go. You call the guests that you had scheduled. You cancel them. You say, sorry, we've got something unbelievable's happened here, and it's just changed. The day Carl Peterson was fired. Everything else is out. Carl Peterson got fired. It's on. Here we go. And so they say, yeah, you just dropped a show right in our lap. So I said for the first time this morning to Jessica, I said, you know, sometimes they just drop a podcast right in your lap. And that's what this John Gruden thing is. This is an unbelievable story. It's unbelievable because there was no investigation into Gruden. There were no allegations. There's never been an allegation of any mistreatment, misuse, any type of discrimination, hate, anything about John Gruden. There's a culture in the NFL that they don't want you to know about, that they are not particularly proud of in the past. It's very real. It's very masculine. And that really is the topic here. What's at issue here is masculinity in America. There is no, I suspect that in the military, I'm not familiar with the military. I haven't been around it. I'm not a military family. But I suspect for many generations it was the same way, that the military was a bastion for masculine behavior, that locker room talk was everywhere, that filthy, disgusting, offensive words were said right and left. John Gruden is known as having the dirtiest mouth in the NFL. Everybody knows this. I mean, everybody knows this. His sideline rants are epic. NFL Films has miles and miles and miles of film of John Gruden on the sideline, berating officials, you know, arguing and fighting with players on the other team, calling them all kinds of names, using the F word. He's as foul as they get. He has a foul look on his face. And for years, for decades, the NFL has promoted this. He's Chucky. We love him. He won a Super Bowl. He's the voice of Monday Night Football. John Gruden is all things NFL. Well, John Gruden is conservative through and through. He hated the anthem protests. He thought, apparently by one email, he thought the NFL was pressuring Jeff Fisher, then the coach of the Rams, to draft Michael Sam out of Missouri to be the first openly gay player in the NFL. He thought all this woke stuff was happening a little over 10 years ago. And he was speaking out about it in emails with what he thought were private emails with a friend who was basically the team president of the Washington Redskins. Here's where this gets really bad. The first thing you have to say about John Gruden is the absolute stupidity to put anything this concrete in an email. There's a record of it forever. It never gets scrubbed. It looks worse in an email than it would sound coming out of your mouth. I am pretty sure, and I'm going to use a couple of words here on the podcast. I'm not going to overuse them. Just so you know the words that John Gruden wrote in his emails. If you haven't seen what he wrote and has now been fired or resigned or whatever from the Raiders. And this happened in very quick fashion. He used the word faggot, which you can't use anymore. He wrote it in an email, and you can't do it. He made fun of the president of the players' union for having lips the size of Michelin tires, which is really bad. But if Dave Chappelle said it or a comedian said it on stage, it might be funny. In entertainment, it might be funny. There are still places that would be acceptable. He used the word queer, which is the Q in LGBTQ. It's an actual word, right? Is queer anything different than gay? or lesbian? This is where it gets really complicated. When we start labeling people and identifying, I don't like to call them marginalized people, fraction people is what they are. They're a very tiny percentage of the population. When they want to be identified as something, it becomes confusing for other people. I'm not defending him on this, you know, in what he did, because it was just clearly stupid to be involved in emails of this stuff. And he did other things. But he called Roger Goodell a faggot. He called him a clueless anti-football P-word. Okay, vulgar, true, but let's discuss that. At that point in time, they were starting to allow, you know, anthem protests and were in Gruden's thoughts, they were trying to force teams to draft gay players and have openly gay players. This stuff is 10 years old, not all of it. Some of it's more recent than that, but it's 10 years old. And what I don't like about it is twofold. Look, I have no problem if the Raiders said there's too hot in the kitchen. The Raiders can do what they want, and they want Gruden out and Gruden resigned, whatever. To make this some kind of a guy say, okay, he's never going to be in the Hall of Fame. We disavow John Gruden from the NFL. We banish him off into cancel culture wasteland. It's all over for John Gruden. Is unfair to John Gruden because the NFL promoted who and what he was. John Gruden is not alone using that language. It is very manly, masculine NFL language that had been accepted for decades. I was around it. I've heard so much worse than what's in this email. So the first thing is, if the NFL wants to be genuine about this, let's have them release hours upon hours upon hours of NFL films footage of coaches and executives and people that are in charge in the NFL right now, owners of the NFL, of things that they were caught on camera saying by NFL films that got edited out and never made it into an NFL films production. Let's start right there. If the NFL is going to be real, because this was a leak, this was the NFL leaking this to the Wall Street Journal. This was not public information. This was not journalism. This was the National Football League. This is the real problem with this entire thing is what they were doing. National Football League was investigating the Washington Redskins for bad business conduct. Sexual allegations, workplace misconduct, all kinds of things going on with the Washington Redskins. So the NFL has been reviewing 650,000 emails that they stole, they got from the Redskins. They basically walked in and said, we're taking these. We're investigating you. This is on. And we don't have one thing from the Redskins. We don't have one thing from Daniel Snyder at any point that he was involved in an email anywhere with anybody that's off color. Not one thing. You got 650,000 emails and you don't have one thing on Daniel Snyder, the owner. We don't know about the Redskins coaches or general managers. We don't know about their personnel. Nothing. What the NFL decides to leak to the Wall Street Journal is some emails from John Gruden. The NFL did this to John Gruden. All right. Now, maybe Roger Goodell saw that he got called the F word and the P word. And maybe he just got all riled up when he saw that in those emails and said, that's it. He's toast. I'm leaking it. If you're going to look to somebody, look to Goodell. Go all the way to the top and ask yourself, why don't we know anything else about this investigation of the Redskins? That's what they were. That's what they're investigating, the Redskins, not the Washington football team. They're investigating the Redskins. This was so long ago. Let me ask you this. Why aren't we firing all the television announcers for calling them the Redskins? You can't say that word anymore. You can't call them the Redskins, right? Why aren't we firing the announcers that used to use that word on TV 10 years ago? But Kevin Harlan, friend of mine, touchdown Redskins. Fire him. He said Redskins 10 years ago. Fire him. He's got to go. Everybody's got to go. Anybody that worked there has to go because certainly they said it. And they wore clothing that said Redskins on it and an offensive logo. This is what's so stupid about going back years. This stuff is moving at warp speed. You can't keep track of what is okay to say and not say. It's impossible. You can't, because something always offends somebody. So the NFL set John Gruden up. Again, you have to point out over and over and over that this is 10 multipliers of stupidity to put this stuff in an email. It's one thing to be on the phone and talk with your friend and, well, maybe somebody's bugging the conversation. We certainly know NFL teams have bugged other teams. that they've recorded things, but they haven't been really leaked to the press. They use it for competitive advantages. There's a lot of dirty shenanigans go on in the NFL. There's a lot of money at stake. But you would think that he had hundreds of phone conversations in his career where he said things like this to his friends. They didn't get recorded, and they're just gone. It happened. It's gone. He didn't call anybody the N-word. You know, maybe we need a list of what, you know, what is a nuclear word, a real trigger word, or ones that are just kind of trumped up against a guy. And I think he looks dumb. I think he looks petty. I think all those things. I can't sit here and defend John Gruden, but I don't like what I'm seeing. And this isn't just another, hey, this is cancel culture. This is vile. This is evil, what the NFL is doing to John Gruden. They leaked this from the NFL. This is an NFL that features an owner in Robert Kraft of the New England Patriots, who a few years ago went to a brothel, for lack of a better term, in Florida by his mansion, where he would go in and get, quote unquote, a massage at this place. You guys remember that story? Kraft was one of the regular customers. The FBI, the feds, or whatever, cracked down on the thing. They arrested 30-some people, men, Johns, for going in there with the hookers and getting their massage at this massage parlor. Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, is one of them. And that story just goes away. It's just gone. It's gone. The Chiefs were clearly drinking at work last year when one of their coaches slammed into a 5-year-old girl and put her in the hospital after drinking at work, which is against NFL rules. Is there an investigation into the Chiefs? Are you telling me that in all these NFL films, all the footage, all the things Andy Reid's done through the years, the number of emails between Philadelphia and Kansas City, that he's never used the word, the P word, in reference to somebody at the NFL headquarters? I guarantee you he has. You want to go back and pick any coach? Andy Reid's been coaching forever. Do you know what kind of stuff you could find on Andy Reid in NFL films from the sidelines? If they took all the Chiefs' emails, do you know what they would find? If they went back 10 or 15 years when the culture was bad, it was sexist, it was misogynistic, whatever you want to call it, it was bad. I was around it every day. I know what it was. It was not as good as media workplaces. It was not. It was a masculine workplace where if you were a woman, you were expected to work there and understand that this is not, you know, working at Pulcinelli. You're not working for T-Mobile here. All right, you're in the National Football League. This is a men's room. This is a men's club. We'll let you work here. We like having you here, but understand there are certain things that you'll be subjected to here that you aren't subjected to elsewhere. Like if you're a reporter, there's naked men walking around in your workplace. Okay, this isn't a normal workplace. It never has been. You know, it was a big deal in the 90s when the first female reporters were out there saying, well, this is offensive. These men should cover up and they shouldn't be walking around the locker room naked. I'm offended. Well, okay, they largely do a pretty good job of that. They didn't then. I'll tell you what happened. My experience in the late 80s and early 90s around female reporters, players in the NFL would get out of the shower, walk buck naked, they'd have flip-flops on because they didn't want to get the stuff on their feet from sharing showers. They would walk around the locker room with no clothes on to find the females in the room and kind of get close to them and make them feel uncomfortable. They would bully the women. It was awful. It was terrible, but they did it. And it wasn't one player or two players. It was lots of players. And almost to a person, the women that worked for the Chiefs, the female reporters that were in there, they would turn their back to it. They would be professional. They would look away. They started saying, why can't we do interviews outside the locker room? And that's kind of where it is now. They take them into media rooms. I said it all along. There's no reason for cameras to be in the locker room around naked men. There was none. There's always somebody standing naked in the background. It was hard. In TV, it was hard to try to keep it out of there. But this was what the culture of this league was. And it's changed and it's evolved. It still isn't where the rest of America is. It won't be. It's football. The guys in there are badass dudes, man. They're masculine. They live a certain way. They talk a certain way. There's a way you act and a way you talk in the NFL. And this league shouldn't be apologizing for it so much. They certainly shouldn't be targeting people and firing people for it. So John Gruden was not an employee of the NFL or a team. He worked for ESPN. Was his email address that it was sent from an ESPN address? This is a good question. Is ESPN culpable in this? Because they certainly would have had access to seeing all this. They didn't do anything. Was it an ESPN email address? Because it most certainly went to an email address that ended in @redskins.com. What's more offensive, the P word or @redskins.com? Let's have this discussion. The word fag, is that more offensive than Redskins? I don't even know. I can't. I'm not in a position to answer these questions. There's no barometer. There's no meter. There's no metric for what word is worse than another. But this is all just absurd. They've set him up. They've outed him. Why they sent them to the Wall Street Journal is beyond me. Then the New York Times gets him, and Gruden is gone. Listen, I don't care about the Raiders. I don't like the Raiders. You know, this thing was probably going to fall apart. They aren't a great team, but they might have been a playoff team this year. They had their coach. They got their new stadium. They're sold out. Their fans are happy. It's good for the NFL. John Gruden was good for the NFL. There was a lot to like here. But they set him up. And this can't be the end. The problem they have now is anybody with any kind of a working brain can say, well, you have 650,000 emails. There's got to be a lot on Daniel Snyder. There's got to be a lot on former coaches, players, admin types with the Washington football team. Let's see what you got on them. You going to leak that? Those people were working for the NFL at the time. Let's see what you have on them. Why John Gruden? Why Gruden? I think I know. I think it is well known in football. Now, remember, he's very good friends with Andy Reid. What do his emails to Andy Reid look like? You think he wrote this stuff? You think he wrote this stuff to this Bruce Allen with the Redskins but didn't write this stuff to Andy Reid? They go way back. They're both conservatives. All right, they both hate the kneeling for the anthem. They both hate the tightening of the rules around football where you can't hit anybody, you can't do this, you can't do that. You know, he called the commissioner a clueless anti-football pussy. That's what he called him. That's what he called him because they didn't like how soft the game was getting. You think Andy Reid doesn't share those thoughts? Of course Andy Reid shares those thoughts. Of course he does. And of course there's emails. And of course there's conversations. There's all that stuff. But there's not a 650,000 email investigation of the Kansas City Chiefs. This is bad. If you're going to do this and Gruden is out, you can't stop now. It's got to be everybody along the way and all 650,000 emails. And what's ESPN's responsibility? Where are they on this? It was their employee. Did they not know John Gruden would like it? Was like this? Of course they did. Because he sat in production meetings and talked like that. Because it's football. It's not like the other sports. It is not. When I started in this business, they had open bar for the media after the game. When the game was over, you went up and they got you drunk. Hey, you want to get drunk? Come on in here. We'll get you drunk. It was just open, free bar. When I started, it does not seem that long ago to me. Now, in the NFL, you cannot have liquor at your facility, period. Even for the coaches to have a couple pops after work. You can't do it. And we see where that is. There's so much wrong with this. John Gruden will never come off as being okay. There's nothing good about what he wrote. There's no defending it, how stupid it was to put it in emails. Everybody knows your email, that it's out there forever. It's never going away. Everybody knows this. So there's 27 levels of stupidity for John Gruden, but he is who he is. And there is not one former player, there's not one former black player, there's not one person he ever worked with that didn't like John Gruden. They understood he was gruff, that he talked foul, that he said the F word every other word. How guys like that make it in broadcasting is beyond me. How they can shut the faucet off of the F word, I applaud them. I've worked with people like that. They say the F word over and over and over all day long, hundreds of times, and then they broadcast and never say it. It's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle that these people can do that. But somehow they do. But everybody knows that John Gruden has the foulest mouth in the NFL, and the NFL is a foul mouth place. And he's an equal opportunity offender. He clearly doesn't care. He's not picking on any one kind of person here. He's just got names and stuff for everyone. And I'll honestly say this about the man. I've interviewed him a few times, been around him. I know people that know him a lot better than not as well as Andy Reid, but a lot better than probably these people at the NFL that are investigating him or reading these emails. He's a pretty harmless guy. He's a likable guy. People like him. He treats others well. He does very gracious things for them. Does the man have demons? Sure. He's got a couple of DUIs. He's got a foul mouth. Now he's got these emails in his background. He's known as Chucky, but he's been living up to his persona. You know, you build this thing up and he's this mean, tough, gruff guy. You build that up, he's going to go with it. It's what he is. And the NFL makes money off of it for years, and then they crack down on it and say, you can't be that guy. Even if this was 10 years ago, this will not stand. I feel bad for the NFL. I think they look, most people won't look at it this way. I think the league looks petty and small for releasing this. There was no reason for this investigation to be anything other than about the Redskins and be completely private. And here's the problem. The National Football League has dirt, real dirt, on all 31 other teams. They have stuff. They have emails. They have transgressions. They have lawsuits. Oh, my God. If we could go find out the list of lawsuits the Chiefs have settled with women, I'd love to see that list. Nobody else will. You'll never hear anybody else say this. I will say it. I would be willing to bet you the Kansas City Chiefs have settled in the last, since I've been working around that football team in the late 80s, I'll bet they have settled at least 25 lawsuits for employee misconduct. At least settled, written checks. Here this happened. We're paying you off. We're not going to court. Here it is. At least 25. The NFL knows about every single one of them. Why don't you leak that to KKHI? I'll read that list. I know some of them. And it's not good. It's not good. We're talking about a league that has featured teams that have kept people from pressing charges by paying them while they're in the hospital, for crying out loud. That's notoriously famous in several places. That's been reported in other places. It's just, it's ridiculous that this is what brings somebody down. Free speech is the worst crime in America now. It's worse than hurting someone. You know, Gruden could have gone, I guess he's married, I don't know. He could have gone home after a loss and slapped his wife around. They could have had a 911 call. And they could have released the 911 call of the wife, and Gruden could have got suspended for a game and said, I need to get counseling or whatever, and come back and been just fine. So that's better than this? There's no sense to what's right and wrong, what's good and what's bad. This is just sad for the NFL that they're this petty that they outed John Gruden, that they picked on him in a Redskins investigation. If that's the case, you can't stop now. There better be 10, 20 more people. I did 650,000 emails. There's going to be all kinds of stuff in there that doesn't look good. Let's go. Come on. Let's release them. Let's see what Daniel Snyder's got. But they're not going to release anything on Daniel Snyder, the owner of the team. Ridiculous. NFL, this is a really, really bad look for you. I suspect this is nothing but personal between Goodell and Gruden. And they got him, and they set him up, and they leaked it to the Wall Street Journal. Knew the New York Times would jump on board, and that's how they got him. Sad. Sad that the NFL is that petty. Southwest Airlines is canceling a whole bunch more flights this week in Kansas City. And there's a real simple question. I saw Dan Crenshaw, the congressman, on Fox News, and he's such a plain-spoken guy. And he asked something that I like to see the big picture, and sometimes I forget. He simply asked, why? Why? Why are flights being canceled? Why are we doing this to ourselves? Why is the government mandating companies of 100 employees or more have vaccinated employees or get fined? Why is the government doing this when we know that natural immunity and vaccination in this country are what, about 80-some percent? I think we believe we're at 80-some percent with vaccination and natural immunity in the United States. The cases are way, way down. We're going to get spikes every now and then, just like we get flu spikes. That's going to happen. But now we're sitting here watching air traffic dissipate. We're looking at cargo ships that can't get into ports. They're sitting off the coast. We can't get products into the country now. The supply chain is a mess. And the government is saying, they're actually applauding, Biden is applauding employees that are getting fired or quitting because they won't get the vaccination. Well, this is ridiculous. Here's the problem you've got in the airline industry. Some people think this could be 30% of pilots are going to walk away and not meet the deadlines of their companies to get vaccinated. Here's why pilots will walk away. Pilots, almost to a person, flew in the military. They have that pension. And do you know how many pilots have been working for 15, 20, 25 years? And there may be my age? 57? Maybe they're 60? 64? They're not going to do this. They're going to walk. I'm done. I'll take my pension. I'm in a union. I'll take my union pension. I was in the military. I'll take my military pension. I can go work and do private corporate flights for somebody that doesn't require this. I can still fly. I can still work. You can't take their livelihoods away. You just can't. This is going to cripple the airline industry. These mandates aren't going to work. They're not going to get people. The people that do not want this shot are not going to go get it. This isn't going to work. Biden's an idiot. And these people are fools. We're watching this all over the place. And hey, did the pilots stage a sick out? Yep, looks like they did. They can't say they did because that breaks their union contract. Southwest Airlines won't admit that's what's happening because they don't want anybody to question their policies. They're going along with the government's telling them to do. And that is by December 8th, all the pilots have to be vaccinated or they can't fly. Well, I think they just showed Southwest and everybody else what's going to happen when that deadline gets here. Because a lot of these folks have been flying for 20 years. They'll take their pension, their union pension, and their military pension. They'll walk away. They'll work on the side as pilots in their communities, whatever. Piece of cake. Plenty of jobs out there for private pilots. You know, these NetJets and some of these companies, whatever. Plenty of those. There's plenty of those companies that do not have 100 employees. Plenty. And they can fly for them. Actually, they don't even have to be employees. They can be contractors. They can just be contractors. They get paid by the flight. And just go do it. They're perfectly qualified and capable. You're messing with the wrong people here with these pilots. You're messing with the wrong people. And the government, these Democrats do not think any of this stuff through, and they're just wreaking havoc on it. The best decision I made was next week we're going to Nashville. We canceled our Southwest flights. We're driving. I'll take the credit. I'm going to wait until the world's normal again. It's just stupid. What am I going to do? Have my weekend wrecked because my flights get canceled and all that stuff? I don't want to wear a mask anyway. Flight delays? No, we'll just drive to Nashville. That won't be hard at all. At all. But it's a great question. Why? Why are we doing the mandates when we have 80-some percent of America has either natural immunity or the vaccine? Why are we doing this? Why? It's just ego, power, and control for the Democrats. That's all it is. It makes no sense whatsoever, and it doesn't make anything better. It only makes things worse. Having pilots quit makes things worse. That doesn't help anyone. That's not accomplishing any goal. And these people will quit. Here's the problem. Here's the real problem we've got. The most important people in our country, in our society, are going to be the ones that quit. The ones who are best off financially, who can more easily just go work somewhere else and do something with their skill. Like if you are a doctor that doesn't want to get the vaccine, you work for a giant corporation, you could just start your own little practice and not vaccinate yourself. The smartest and the most important people and the highest paid people and those with pensions built up and savings in the bank are the ones that are able to walk away. So we start losing the best among us. That's what we're going to do. We're going to lose the best among us. That's what Biden's plan is. Let's get the best people to stop working. Great. That's awesome. These people are buffoons. Kamala Harris is the lead buffoon. She is in a new production, a video production with NASA. So they go put this thing together about it's kids and their dreams and you're going to walk on the moon someday and it's going to be so cool. Kamala Harris goes and does this thing with kids that are child actors. It's not a go to school and talk to kids and meet with kids on their level and tell them to dream to become an astronaut. These are paid child actors in a propaganda. There's no other way to describe this than a propaganda video for her and the Biden administration. And it was produced by a Canadian company, of all things, a Canadian production company called Sinking Ship Entertainment. You can't make that up. I mean, if there's a Titanic in America, it's Kamala Harris. Joe Biden's right behind her, or he's the tugboat pulling her. That's probably more like it. I'm not kidding. These people are so stupid. They hired child actors, did fake videos, and had a Canadian production company called Sinking Ship Entertainment produce it for them. That's 25 times level of stupid of John Gruden. It is. Sinking Ship Entertainment. Who would name their company Sinking Ship, by the way? I mean, unless they were simply about, that's what their entertainment is, that, you know, it's Titanic-related productions, or maybe it's about shipwrecks. I could see that. Man, Kamala Harris being attached to a production company called Sinking Ship is so appropriate. That's so awesome. They hired child actors to produce this thing, and it was a Canadian company. That's three strikes, you're out. That's just three really, really stupid things, and we suspect that it will continue around Kamala Harris. KKHI is brought to you by 360documentsolutions.com. They are a great option for your business to become more efficient and save money. If you work at an office as an office manager, if you have a small company or a big company that you run, give 360 Docs a chance to help you out. Copiers, printers, IT solutions, mailing systems, phone systems. They do it all. They can get you out of your current leases. You don't even know who you're doing business with now anyway. Dump them, especially if you've got HP. HP is really expensive, and it's just not good enough. They've got better products at 360documentsolutions.com. Call Mark at 913-745-5344 or check them out at 360documentsolutions.com. Any business in Western Missouri or the entire state of Kansas, anywhere in Kansas, can benefit from 360documentsolutions.com. Buck Roofing and Construction online at rbuckroofing.com. Get that free roof inspection by mentioning Kevin Keatsman has issues. And if they do a little patchwork for you, you'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Fry Orthodontics, 12 locations and shorter treatment times. The average treatment time at most offices is 24 months. Fry averages 17 months for braces and 12 months for Invisalign. So there it is. Get Invisalign with Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. And Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch. It's time to fall in love at Joslyn's Jewelry because it's fall. Gary's there. Dave's there. Cameron's there. They're all my friends. It's a family-owned business. There are no commissions. They're not talking you into anything. They'll show you the good stuff, show you anything you like, and let you make your own decision. At Joslyn's, 95th and Antioch, the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. We did two patron podcasts on Monday. The first was my appearance on Chris DeGaulle's radio show on KCMO. When we do things like that, sometimes I just post them for the patrons, and you can check those out. The second was Between the Lines 2.0 with Danny Klinkscale. Normally we do that on Tuesday. It's not fitting his schedule, so we did it on Monday. And then the discussion of this patron podcast, which is really good. Danny's commentary on the Chiefs debacle Sunday night is worth subscribing to and listening to. You can get all his free content at DannyKlinkscale.com. We discussed a lot of things, and I said, Andy Reid looks tired. We know he's in the hospital. He had a news conference, a Zoom conference on Monday, and he didn't look right. And I made a point of saying that and pointing it out, saying, look, I don't think he looks good. Something's wrong here. He looks like he's seen a ghost. He looks scared. He looks like, you know, he just looks, and I brought up the question with Danny. I said, is there a chance something is going on here that we don't know about? I said, we don't know about the Britt Reid situation. We don't know if the NFL is investigating the Chiefs for drinking at work. We don't know what's going on. There's a lot of things with the Chiefs that you'll never know because it's the Gestapo. They're good. They tamp it down. They keep it down. We don't know. But he looked like it was more than just lost a game. This was Monday. This was his Monday Zoom call. He didn't look good. And I don't mean he looked like he needed to be in the hospital unhealthy. He looked uncomfortable. He looked like maybe something was crashing in around him. He just had that look. And I think now it probably was John Gruden, because just a few hours after that, Gruden is gone with the Raiders. They're very good friends. And I think Andy has probably been on the phone with him. I think it's been weighing on him. Andy's probably the type of friend that will take the burden, take the phone calls, counsel with you, worry with you. Heck, Andy may be scared that, you know, once you've gotten into Gruden's emails, can't you get into anything Gruden sent to Andy Reid if you want it? Would you look around the league and say, wait a second, if this is the behavior, who are his four or five best friends? Let's go get their emails. Is there a chance the NFL is looking at Chiefs' emails? They clearly have the wherewithal and the right to do it because they went and did it to the Washington football team. They said, we're taking your 650,000 emails and we're scouring over them. They haven't done anything with the Washington football team. They got John Gruden. Are they looking at the Chiefs? I don't know. I brought that up in the Patreon podcast. If you'd like to become a patron, it's only $5 a month or more. If you'd like to donate more, it's at kkhasissues.com. I ran into a really nice gentleman at the ALS walk with James Bishop and his family on Saturday, who just came out. Met a lot of you folks that just came out. We're out there hanging out, walking around. It was very nice of you. Thank you. And the gentleman walked up and says, here, I've got all my credit card information. I want you to sign me up as a patron. I said, sir, I don't want your credit card information. It's really easy to do. You got to do it yourself. I said, I'm a private person. The last thing I want is your information. I respect your privacy. Podbean will have your information. That's between you and them. All I see is your email address. Many cases, your email addresses have nothing to do with what your name is, so I don't even know who you are. I just see an email address. We put it in MailChimp, and that's how we send the newsletter out every week, is through MailChimp. And really, all I see is your email address. So I told him, I said, sir, this will be the easiest thing you've ever done. But go on your browser, go on your laptop, your desktop, your tablet, whatever. Don't try to do it on your phone. Just get on your computer, go to kkhasissues.com like you would any other website. It says become a patron up there in the right-hand corner, or patron. Click on it. I'm serious. You will do this in less than 5 minutes. It is so easy and simple. When you do that, download the Podbean app. It's free. And that way you can listen on your phone. You don't have to get on your desktop or whatever. Put the Podbean app on your phone. The latest version of the Podbean app is the best way to listen to the Patron podcast. You'll get an email notification that one is up. All you do is hit click. And it's right there for you, and it will play. It's very easy. It's very inexpensive. We did 2 Patron podcasts on Monday. We did 4 podcasts last week. So that's 6 Patron podcasts in the last 7 days and the newsletter. And we hope you enjoy those. Sometimes they're shorter. Lee Sterling's Thursday night pick usually is only somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes long. We have Lee Sterling on to do that. We'd just like to give you the Thursday night play. And some of them are much longer. Sometimes with Danny, we go a long time. Sometimes I got something I'm ranting about and they could be much longer. So they're a little bit all over the place. You never know when they may pop up, but I think you'll like them if you become a patron. It's real easy to do. Get on your computer, not your phone. Get on your computer. Go to kkhasissues.com, click on patron, and you become a patron. Patrick Mahomes has said he's reevaluating his decision-making as quarterback of the Chiefs. Tyrann Mathieu says, this is on us. We're out of position. Andy Reid says they're looking at everyone and everything. This is all in the last 24 hours. And I'm going to say something about the Chiefs right now that I never thought I'd be saying about the Chiefs. Because I've seen this before. I've seen it with plenty of Chiefs teams, but not this iteration of the Chiefs. Since Mahomes took over, I didn't think it was even fathomable that I would ever say this. This team is all talk. This team is all show. They're all flash and no substance. They are. Whether it's Mahomes on stage at the Jason Aldean concert, yucking it up. You know, 2 weeks in a row he was at concerts as Patrick Mahomes. Now, you don't go in. It's not like you and I go into a concert. It's different. You're Patrick Mahomes. He clearly loves the limelight. It's clearly hours away from game planning and studying film. I think, and I warned of this a couple of years ago, when Patrick Mahomes, he played about 3 games his first year as the starter. And I said, this guy's about to be the biggest star we've ever had in this town. And the trappings of his life, this is going to be difficult. He's going to be pulled and tugged in every direction, and every single thing available to man is going to be available to him. He's going to have to learn how to say no, and he still has not learned how to say no. He has not. He probably has to learn how to say no. I'm not blaming all this on Mahomes, by the way. I'm pointing out the symptom of a team that has a big problem. Tyreek Hill suddenly doesn't know what the plays are and isn't paying attention well enough to catch the ball that's thrown right to him. I hate it. Tyrann Mathieu can talk all he wants. He's not making any plays. Andy Reid says they're evaluating everyone, but he hasn't changed anything. Daniel Sorensen took every snap. This team is all talk. It is all style. It is all flash and no substance. If there's plenty of time to do this, there's 13 games left, right? That's five. There's 12 games left. There's 12 games left. There is plenty of time for them to close the door, lock down the walls, take a real hard look in the mirror, and say, we aren't good enough. We have to do better. That just being the Kansas City Chiefs is not good enough. And if they do that, and they get tough, if they get hardened, if they get angry and they get mean, and they get motivated, they can do it. But I don't see it. I don't see it. I think it's all talk. I think it's all talk at this point. I think there's a bunch of fat and happy cats on this team making a bunch of money that are getting paid no matter what. They've been to back-to-back Super Bowls. And I fear, I'm not going to predict because it can be saved. I fear this is the beginning of the end of this era, that it will now be who are the next receivers and tight ends with Mahomes? Who are the next generation of great players for the Chiefs? How are they going to get them? Are they going to draft their way to that? Are they going to sit here and sign 30-year-olds all the time and try to do that? I don't know. I don't know, but the Chiefs look way too comfortable. They look way too comfortable in their own skin. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be out for a few weeks. He's got a knee strain. Joe Tooney fractured his hand in the game. Tyreek Hill tweaked a knee. They say it's not serious. Travis Kelce got a stinger. So here we go. Now the injuries are going to start piling up. I noticed this weekend in the NFL that a lot of teams lost. What do we have? Six straight game-winning field goals or game-winning attempts for field goal in the Packers-Bengals game that were all missed before the Packers finally won. The Colts last night, I turned the game off. They were up big. And then it was 25-17. So I watched the Ravens score eight and pull within eight. And I thought, okay. And then the Colts just marched right downfield. And they're at, like, I think the 20-yard line. And there's only 6 minutes to go or something. And I'm thinking, well, no problem. At the very last, I forget what I switched over and watched. I said, no problem. At least they'll get a field goal here. They'll be up 11, and then that's that. There's not enough time left to score 14 points. So I stopped watching. It went to overtime. I still don't know what the Colts did on that drive. Did they miss a field goal there? I know they missed one at the end of regulation to win it. The Ravens went down and tied the game up with 48 seconds to go. Then the Colts marched downfield and had a 47-yarder to win the game and missed it. Everybody today is talking about Lamar Jackson and how great he is. MVP, MVP, they were shouting. The comeback was epic. It was. But the Colts stopped Lamar Jackson for three quarters because they could. Then this happens all the time. We've seen this forever. You change your defense. You go into a prevent. You allow him to complete passes underneath. So you don't get beat by a big play, which I don't understand. Why you go three quarters and play great defense, frustrate a guy, he fumbled again. You play a great game against him, and then you say, okay, we'll let you dink and dunk. And he starts throwing these underneath passes, and they give them up to him. And they come back, and they go, well, it's going to be really hard to give up 16 points in this amount of time because that's four scores. That's two touchdowns and then two more touchdowns. It's really four touchdowns because it's basically a fourth and goal on the two-point conversion. I understand the logic there, but it can happen, and it did happen. And I give Lamar Jackson credit for that. But my goodness, how many teams lost this week? The Chiefs lost. You turn the ball over four times and don't get one takeaway. You just handed your opponent the game. You just gave it to him with stupid football. And I don't care. I listened to talk radio a little bit yesterday. I feel bad for these guys. I feel like they haven't watched enough football. I literally heard multiple people say, you can be just a little bit unlucky in turnovers. No, no. You can be unlucky on balls that are bouncing around on the field. I agree with that. Those can be 50-50 balls. And you can have a season where you get 7 out of 10 of those. And some years where you only get 3. That's possible. But the point is, the Chiefs are the team putting the ball on the ground. Not the other team. There's no luck to that. That's better defenses hitting offensive players that are not securing the football. No, that's not luck. Turnovers are not luck. Turnovers are almost always bad decisions. Turnovers are almost always between the ears. They are very rarely physical plays. They can be. you can have your hand on the ball pretty good and a guy can make a special play flying in with his helmet. But you know what I'm seeing more and more in the league? I'm seeing more and more guys running with two hands on the ball. More and more of it. Lots of it. Clyde Edwards-Helaire started doing it. Byron Pringle didn't. It's not luck. It's not luck. I watched a lot of teams lose this week, and it's always been that way. Marty Schottenheimer was, I think he was the best coach I was ever really around. And he was pretty outspoken. He would say at the time about the Raiders, you know, he'd say, we just got to play a good, clean game and let them beat themselves. And what was Marty's record against the Raiders? Like 27-3 or something crazy? He just owned the Raiders. He just destroyed them. And he was right. We got to play a good, clean game and the Raiders will beat themselves. That's what they'll do. And they did. They'd get, commit 13 penalties. They'd turn it over a couple of times. The Chiefs would play a clean game. A lot of punts. Not very exciting. But whatever. And it worked. And I saw a lot of that this weekend in the NFL. And I think some of it is coming because teams are opening up their offenses more. They're trying harder. They're trying more things. And I think it's creating more turnovers. But I can't explain all these missed kicks. I cannot explain the kickers that have just not made field goals to win games. It was epic. And the Ravens, again, the Ravens didn't win that game last night. The Colts lost that game. I don't care how great Lamar Jackson was coming back. The Colts lost that game. Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Mention us to your friends if you don't mind. We'd greatly appreciate that. Always feel free to send them an email or something. Say, hey, check out this link, kkhasissues.com. But they don't have to download the app or anything. They can just listen on a desktop one time and see if they like the podcast. Hopefully they will. And we really appreciate you helping us spread the word of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.